Leading Ideas Talks podcast is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly e-newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leadingideas. Leading Ideas Talks is also brought to you by Leading Like Nehemiah, Rebuilding Together. This six-session video-based study curriculum lifts up key themes in Nehemiah's witness that can inspire and guide faith leaders today. Learn more at churchleadership.com/Nehemiah. And remember, to stay up to date with the latest church leadership strategies and information, please like and subscribe to this channel and click the bell icon to get updates for new videos. How can church leaders address the challenges of urban ministry in a transformative way? In this episode, we speak with pastor and scholar Tony Hunt about reading a community well, identifying assets, and the importance of understanding your ministry context. He shares with us how to develop the transformative qualities of effective leadership.
Welcome to Leading Ideas Talks, a podcast featuring thought leaders and innovative practitioners. I am Douglas Poe, the director of the Lewis Center, and your host for this talk. Joining me is the Reverend Dr. Anthony Hunt, Tony, who's a pastor and scholar, and we're focusing on his book, Hope for the City, Transformational Leadership Development for Urban Ministries. Our focus for this podcast is on urban ministry leadership. Tony, I'm excited to have you with us today to talk about this really important book and work that you've done.
Well, thank you for having me, Doug, and I look forward to the conversation.
Tony, I want to begin with actually having you sort of explain what the term or how you would define the term urban. We often hear people use this language, but I have learned that people mean different things when they use the word urban. So if you could sort of define for us, at least in your opinion, how do you think about the term urban?
Well, you're right. There's just multiple ways to think about urban, what it is to be urban and urban in the process of urbanization. And I think, you know, scholars like David Clairbeau and especially Ronald Peters give us, you know, indication of what it looks like. I would say more characterizations than definition, and the definitions are embedded in the characterizations. And so, one thing that urban is not, I'll start there, is not solely, and most those who study urban studies and urban ministry would say that urban is not confined to a municipality or simply space or boundaries, physical boundaries. That's a part of it. But urban itself is characterized by, you know, the type of density in community. There are people, the type of movement of people in community, the diversity of a particular area, traffic flow, business and economic, just really going back to early civilization and how those communities functioned as economic and political entities in themselves. And so it can be a very large area. It can be an area that's defined as a city, but urban is not, a city is not the sole defining characteristic of or entity that defines urban itself. So urban, again, space in how people relate with each other across these various forms of density really, really express what urban is more than a physical and a political boundary, a municipal boundary.
All right. Thank you. And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, part of the challenge with the term urban is to try to make it easy. We often define it simply as city, but it's really more complex and complicated in terms of what actually should count as urban, depending on where you may be located. What may be urban in one place and another place may not be urban.
Right, right. And I think sometimes my experience in church and leadership and working in cities like mostly in Baltimore and Washington and other cities across the country, is that many persons who are urban or in urban kind of context don't want to be defined as urban because it takes on a connotation of something that's negative or something that's, you know, less than more suburban communities, where by these types of definitions and characteristics, they're urban types. There's traffic, there's diversity in community, there's density of population. And so some inner suburban areas are more urban than they are suburban. But so that gets to, you know, really defining urban as this place of hope, this sense of hope, this sense of, as my book and, you know, kind of points to, this sense of possibility, as well as, you know, as well as some of the real challenges that we face when any large group of people get together who are diverse.
Yes. And the book, again, is Hope for the City, Transformational Leadership, Development for Urban Ministries. And I'm talking with Tony Hunt. So, Tony, many urban areas, and you've said this a couple of times, are becoming more diverse today. Mm-hmm. How is this both a wonderful thing and a challenge for congregations in those communities?
Yes, you know, for challenges for congregations and nonprofits, anyone who is working in urban communities. Another part of my work is building community through what we call in theological circles the beloved community. And so, you know, one of the challenges is really defining in urban space community that is by definition that is not diverse in other places. But the complexity, the dynamics of diversity, you have age diversity, you have racial ethnic diversity, you have economic diversity. In any given zip code, like the zip code in which I pastor, you have national diversity, you have gender diversity, you have identity diversity. You have all of these types of diversities converging and really making sense of it around, say, what the mission of a community is, what the purpose of a community is once it's defined. So the community is defined by the people who are in it, and then bringing definition to it by bringing, you know, meaning and hope and blessing out of that. So the challenges are in the diversity itself, because it's not a monolithic type of diversity, if you will. It's multiple diversities, even within those categories. So for instance, all Black people or in African American people do not think the same, do not have the same experiences, do not believe the same. And so how do we work with that and see that as a gift and not only a challenge, but a gift itself?
So just to follow up, and you're talking about transformational leadership in the book. So a leader in an urban community, but I would argue this would fit other contexts as well. When you have diversity, typically in a congregation, what we like to do is think about how do we connect with a certain group of people, be it economically, be it racially, ethnicity, but, you know, we want to connect with middle class individuals. So we program in that particular way. But in an urban area where you have so much diversity, you've got to think more creatively, is what I'm hearing you say. You can't just simply say, you know, I'm going to just do this type of programming. I got to maybe think more creatively about how I'm going to do the programming.
Exactly. There's no cookie cutter to leading. I've learned in any context, but as it relates to urban context, there's certainly not a cookie cutter. So leadership, I talk about in the book, leadership practices of reading a community well, you know, of understanding who's in the community, listening well, our good friend and colleague, Joe Daniels calls, you know, walking like Nehemiah, walking a community, what I call exegeting the culture, exegeting the community. That's not a term that's original to me, but, you know, one of the things I practice with the leadership team at the church I pastor, at Epworth Chapel. And I have the students that we work with at Wesley Seminary and other places do, is just walk your catchment area. Just walk and see what you see. Do you see grass? Do you see broken windows? Who are the mayors in your community? Who has influence? You know, asset, you know, based community analysis, and getting to know the community. And that informs leadership. It's contextual leadership, urban. And again, there's no cookie cutter, because in a city like Baltimore, you have 26 different defined communities, and then you have communities within those, for instance. And so the principles could apply of walking, but when we walk, we see something different, or we may walk differently. But really contextually, the point of the work of Hope for the City, transformational leadership in urban ministries, you know, the work around evidence-based, you know, talking to lots of pastors around the country, about, you know, interviewing pastors and doing some evidence-based work, that tie to standard leadership practices, and what leadership theorists are doing, but contextualizing leadership to apply to specific contexts. And so what is in the catchment zone of a zip code, one zip code, and who's there, what people are there, what processes there, what does the place look like? What's not there? You know, is there a grocery store in the community? I like to ask the question, is there a Starbucks in the community? Because that says a lot about, you know, what people are thinking about that community and what might be coming. You know, what are indicators of hope for a particular community?
You sort of have moved in this direction a little bit. I know that you often lead sort of a pilgrimage or immersions in the communities, and you've talked about working with students doing that sort of work in Baltimore. And you sort of have laid out some of the ways you sort of help them to exegete the community as you're walking through. But what I'm curious about is, what have you overheard them sort of say out loud of some of the assumptions they're making before that you sort of help them to see it with new eyes? So what are some of the assumptions people make who don't live sort of in urban communities, that when they sort of actually do exegete the community, they're surprised maybe in some ways by what they discover?
Yeah, and so maybe some of the ways that we were educated and informed about cities, particularly for those of us who might not have ever lived in a city. And often when we do immersions in Baltimore, or, you know, even in cities in Alabama, a lot of work in Alabama. So we go through cities like Birmingham, Montgomery, and Selma. Those are urban cities, Atlanta, you know, places that we go, being in places like Minneapolis, parts of Chicago, you know, Milwaukee, places I've been lately.
Yeah. And I want to continue in this theme of exegeting. And you talk about King in the book, and you're a King scholar. But I want to come at it a bit differently, I don't want to be unfair, but I think, and I'll test this out on you, you know, King fared better in southern urban areas than he did when he went to northern Chicago. But I also think King also, in many ways, was a quick exegete. I mean, he understood the importance of context and everything. But what are the lessons for us then in terms of our own sort of leadership development that we could take away from someone like King, who was so successful, in southern or other urban areas, but really struggled when he went up north?
I mean, I really think the lesson for all leaders today is that all leadership is contextual. And so Montgomery, whatever the success is there in the civil rights movement, the the tactics, the context, the people were different than Chicago. Obviously, Chicago, Los Angeles, Detroit, other places, you know, where King, you know, certainly went, they were much more complex in many ways because they were larger. And so if King were here today, let's say, I agree with your observation. And we talk a lot about that, you know, in some of my work, you know, King studies and civil rights studies, is that his, you know, the work of civil rights was largely urban, in many ways, urban work. It was in cities like Atlanta, cities like, you know, Albany, Georgia, small, sometimes smaller cities, and maybe somewhat differently complex. What I would want to learn from Dr. King's lesson in like Chicago, that did not go well, is that you have to lead in different forms of nuance in a place like Chicago. Just like when, you know, Baltimore and D.C. are like co-joined by a parkway, but they are very different cities. I'm a son of inner city Washington, D.C., urban area, but it is not inner city Baltimore and vice versa. And even in Washington, if I were leading in Southeast Washington and Anacostia, and then I was to go to where Wesley Seminary is, those are two different contexts, even in one city. And so leadership is always contextual. And that's the point of a lot of my own work is to really test our presumptions and then enter into leadership, the task of leadership, always keeping our context in mind. And therefore, we have to be adaptive as leaders, as we seek to transform community.
Yeah. And let me stick with this leadership for a second. How do you help individuals to sort of develop that adaptive leadership that is needed to do well if they're going to lead ministries or I would say pastor anywhere, but particularly pastor in an urban area. You adapted from D.C. to Baltimore. How do you help individuals to really develop that adaptive leadership? I know you've talked about sort of exegeting, but what other things do you think are really characteristics that we need to work on? It's not that any of us have these things perfectly, but these are things we need to think about and work on as we think about our leadership.
Yeah. So, you know, leadership is a practice. You know, there are theories that underlie practice. And I believe that those practices are pretty transcendent. So I've worked in, you know, all types of settings, governmental settings, you know, nonprofit settings, consulting settings, military, church, you know, academic settings, and observe leadership and been in leadership in those settings as well. I think what for church leadership, in terms of, you know, understanding, again, the context and understanding that the context, a church is a culture. You know, Dr. Lovett Williams talks about the church itself being a culture. So every church is a micro culture. It's a culture within a meta culture. You know, community, you know, jurisdiction, and so on, politics and everything. And so, you know, transformative qualities, you know, really begin from within. And so we, you know, we want to test who we are as leaders, our identity as leaders. And are we being transformed within? You know, Paul, you know, talked about, you know, being transformed by the renewing of our minds first. And therefore we move forward in terms of transformative process. And so, you know, practicing, you know, good qualities of, you know, observing, listening, team building, you know, understanding where assets are and how to galvanize and organize those assets are transformative processes that I believe any leader, you know, could benefit from, you know, in a community. I believe it takes a lot of, you know, a lot of time, a lot of coaching, a lot of, you know, coming alongside leaders. One of the things I've discovered with newer leaders is that we can presume, for those of us, I went to business school before I went to seminary. My daughter, you know, for instance, has gone to business school. But you know, we talk a lot about this. You know, we can learn the theory, but the practice is really a matter of trial and error, of learning on the ground, you know, testing presumptions about our own leadership, about who we are, you know, and then developing the skills to, you know, to build teams, to organize people, to organize resources, and then to articulate vision. It really takes, it's multifarious. And so in urban areas, it's a bit more complex many times is because many urban communities are a challenge, or at least a sense of challenge of a lack of resources. So the shift, I believe the transformational shift is one from being scarcity focused to being really focused on, okay, so what is abundance? What does flourishing and thriving look like? And, you know, what does adeptness, as you say, look like for our communities? So,
and you sort of foreshadowed what I was thinking, and my next question is around resources, because I do think that many people try to avoid urban ministry because of the fear of the lack of resources. But I appreciate you talking about sort of transformative leaders think about it differently. And I think that's critical. So what are some ways to think about resources? Because I think when we think resources, we automatically think money, right? But resources are more than money. So how do we help people, again, to think outside of the box in terms of what it means in terms of resources?
It's really pretty simple in a way, because every community has assets. And so the first thing I would tell myself if I were going into a community today, and what we help others practice who are coming, you know, in our work with urban ministry students, community engagement students, for instance, is to really, really look at a community. Let me first of all say, yeah, you're right. I've spoken to numerous persons who had a sense when they were appointed to an urban area that it was a less desirable kind of appointment. Okay. And that's the perception. What did I do wrong to be appointed to, say, Baltimore, okay, and not to Baltimore County or Baltimore City? So asset-based analysis, I work from the presumption that every community has assets. Every community I've ever served in has assets. They're assets. And so people, you know, so the first thing is to really qualify the assets. So, you know, who's in our communities in terms of people, in terms of institutions? Is there a school, college, university in our, because that's an asset. Shopping venues, assets. Vacant buildings, possible assets. Highways, assets. And so we have categories of assets that we want. I just, by default, I look at a community and say, these are assets, and therefore they are opportunities to really galvanize and organize around ministry or around work. Banks are assets, you know. And so everything, I believe that nothing's wasted. So everything in a catchment zone, zip code or impact zone is a potential opportunity. You know, a boarded up building is a potential opportunity.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. That's helpful. Well, Tony, I really have enjoyed the conversation. As we get ready to close, you have used in our time the word hope often. So I want to end with, what is your hope for transformational leadership?
Okay. Well, I'm just a strong believer. You know, what I've learned is that the difference, the differentiating factor in thriving organizations is thriving leadership. And so my hope is, you know, through my work and having been trained first as an economist, then, you know, getting an MBA, and then figuring out that, you know, management and leadership are not always the same, is that working and helping to resource in ways that we can, the processes of transformative leadership are based on the evidence, are the factors that, you know, why do some urban churches you know, some urban churches and pastors thrive when others may struggle. The differentiating factor are the qualities of transformative leadership somewhere. And so how do we equip, how do we tool pastors to serve in these contexts? And so a lot of my work is involved with that. And that's my hope, is that we don't really give up on opportunity in urban context, but that we work, you know, with leaders to help. You know, that's one aspect. Obviously, there are other assets and things that need to happen, but leadership really does matter. Transformative, transformational leadership, transforming leaders matter in our community.
Tony, thank you. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate your being with us and sharing from your book, Hope for the City.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for Leading Ideas Talks. Please like and subscribe to this channel and click the bell icon to get updates for new videos.